Morning. Would you please bow your head for the prayer of illumination? Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Please stand if you're able for the reading of the scripture. The scripture this morning is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 14. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord, or of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, I wrote this one in a fever, so I think I'm going to have to roll up my sleeves before I get started with any hope of getting through it. Last week, as most all of you will remember, Cody launched us into a new preaching series called Hard Sayings of Jesus. And he started about talking about unanswered prayers. He said that the reason our prayers go unanswered is not usually because we don't have enough faith, or it's not because we are holding resentments. That's usually not the case. He said that usually, most of the time, our prayers go unanswered because God has something else in mind. Do you remember that? Today, we're going to be looking at another hard saying of Jesus. One that, as I've studied it in the weeks preparing for today, seems to me to be particularly timely, given current social and political rhetoric. We find this hard saying in Luke 12, only five verses, 49 through 53, and it's Jesus speaking throughout. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled! Exclamation point. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed! Exclamation point. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division! Exclamation point. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2, and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. It's the end of the reading. With all those exclamation points, which I drew to your attention, and the striking examples of division, doesn't Jesus sound pretty fired up? Maybe it's us that Jesus wants to fire up. How are we to understand this hard saying about division? And even more important, how are we to live it? Of the 5 verses, half of them tell of division and conflict between family members. Jesus says they will be divided. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, and so on. I don't know about you, but when I hear that, my heart breaks. It seems chilling, sad, hard, to say the least. And they come right after Jesus asks, "Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth?" Well, he's the Prince of Peace, so he must have come to bring peace, right? Nope. Jesus says that he came not to bring peace, but rather to bring division. That doesn't sound like very good news to me. It sounds harsh. So again, I ask us, how are we to understand this? And more importantly, how are we to live it? Because as Anne so beautifully said in the children's ministry, we can have faith, but our faith is really, truly only faith if we live it and put it into action. How do we put this hard saying into action? To find the answers, I think we need to go back to the very beginning of this passage and look at verse 49, where Jesus says, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled." Such passion, such hope in those words. The fire Jesus is speaking of here is the Holy Spirit. You may remember that after Jesus' resurrection and before his ascension, he told his disciples not to worry that he was going away, because he had talked to God and that God was going to send an advocate who would be with them always. This advocate, as you know, is just another name for the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit's coming that we celebrate every year at Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit is the key to us understanding this hard saying and to knowing how to live it. Let me tell you how Dave Hope, bass guitarist for the rock band Kansas, caught the fire of Christianity. Dave was deep into drugs and alcohol and had been that way for a long time. When once on tour, he was moved to become a Christian. Pretty amazing in and of itself. But there's more. As a new Christian, like many new Christians, Dave was full of righteous indignation. He thought that as a Christian, it would be a bad witness to Christ on his part to agree to perform where alcohol was sold and where people were doing drugs. He thought that being a Christian meant separating himself from all of that. So he refused to perform at those kind of places. However, the Holy Spirit began to work with him, and Dave soon came to believe that wasn't necessarily the way to go. It was as if the Holy Spirit was saying to him, be a Christian where you are. Grow where you are planted, whether among the wheat or the chaff, among the sheep or among the goats. So Dave stopped separating himself from people who didn't know God or Jesus as the Son of God. And because of that, actually became a strong witness for Christ. He came to understand that his decision to become a Christian and follow the teachings of Jesus didn't mean that he was supposed to set up division between himself and non-Christians. He came to understand that being a Christian means staying in the midst of the sin and chaos of the world and being yourself. Certainly, we only have to look to the life of Christ to know that that is exactly what he did. And to prepare ourselves and to understand that others are likely to persecute us and ridicule us and give us a hard time and create divisions with us. Indeed, many of Dave's fans and other rock and roll performers ridiculed him because of his newfound faith, but he continued on by the grace of God and the fire of the Holy Spirit. He is today and has been for 10 years an Episcopal priest in Florida. So, let's never make our decision to follow Christ and live his teachings reason to separate ourselves from people who have different beliefs than we do. The dividing that needs to be done will eventually be done by God, not by us. Creating barriers or setting up divisions between individuals and groups is not part of the Christian job description. Our job description is living with and loving others. And yet, probably like me, you've heard of people who became Christians and were disowned by their family. Maybe that's part of your faith journey. Maybe that's part of your faith story. It's part of mine. When I was called to enter the seminary and prepare for vocational ministry, my family became very hostile towards me, mocked my decisions. My mother said that she preferred ministers who were men. Remember Jesus' words, mother against daughter. My brother said he believed that women should not be ordained. So it came as no surprise that neither of them came to my ordination or ever acknowledged it. And you know, when you think about it, who cares if a stranger, the guy at the 7-Eleven store, for example, doesn't like the fact that you're a Christian? But if your mother, father, brother, sister doesn't like the fact that you're a Christian, that's something else. That's what Luke 12 makes personal. That's what Luke 12 brings home. That's why this is such a hard saying. And I have to say that I was not always ready and quick to talk about my faith in Christianity. I remember a time in those years leading up to entering the seminary where I was meeting with a client that I had a very good relationship with and had for many, many years. That day, he noticed the cross that I was wearing, and he said, "You don't believe that stuff, do you? You're smarter than that." My response? I cowardly said nothing. My cowardice wasn't because I didn't want to create a separation between me and my client. No, unfortunately, it was because I feared that my client would set up the separation between us if I had spoken up about my faith. So I cowardly stayed quiet. Not what Jesus would want, I don't think. It's wise to remember that just as we don't want our family members disowning us because we're Christians, we don't want to disown our family because they're not Christians. Stay in the midst of them. Know that the Holy Spirit will always go with you and will always be available to you. Don't think that you have to do everything except to be in the midst of them. Be yourself. Be the Christian that you are. And inevitably, you will have that opportunity to talk about how you were lost and how the unconditional transforming love of God and faith communities that you are a part of, and you became found. Live the gospel, it said, at all times, and if necessary, use words. Prepare yourself and understand that others are likely to persecute you and create divisions with you. Being persecuted, suffering for Christ, as Doug read from Paul's epistle, comes with the territory of being a Christian. In this day and age, you will not be thrown to the lions in the Colosseum, but you will likely receive some other kind of ill treatment that might make the lion's den look pretty inviting. You may be passed over for promotions, denied housing, left out of conversations, be excluded from family and friend gatherings. You may be met with bullying, intimidation, and prejudice. And maybe, just maybe, if no one hates you, you're doing something wrong. So is there any good news here? Well, of course there is. Of course there's good news. The good news is we've been warned. God has given us this big heads up about what to expect when we make the decision to follow Christ and to live, to really live out his teachings. When we make the decision that the Holy Spirit is in us and around us, to be on fire and to have the Holy Spirit burning within us. So the other part of the good news is just that, that the fire of the Holy Spirit is always available to us. And so when you find yourself being fearful, intimidated, check your spirit level. Are you running low? Do you need to pour in more spirit by reading the Bible, praying, meeting with other Christians, fellow Christians, or serving others? That's where we find the courage. That's where we find the courage to live as Christians in the midst of persecution. To fight fire with fire, to fight the fire of persecution with the fire of the Holy Spirit. It's God. From the beginning of our call to worship, it is God that commands us to have courage. Courage to live a life that is on fire. And as Paul encourages us in 2 Timothy, hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you, entrusted to all of you, with the help of the Holy Spirit in and around us. This hard saying of Jesus warns us that our decision to live as Christians will cause division. Let's just make sure that we are not the ones setting up the division. Let's make sure we are growing where we're planted. And by the grace of God and the fire of the Holy Spirit, kindling new flames. Amen.